Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, a person in Alaska went to use an outhouse, discovered a bear in the sewage.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Mitch Trubisky?
No, I want Mitch Trubisky to be somewhere a little bit warmer, not much warmer, Lake Forest, working out with coaches, whether they want him or not. That's what I want. You ever been in the company of a live bear, Tony? A real bear, like
no.
Even hundreds of yards away.
No.
You seen one with your own eyes? No.
No, have not. Have you?
Yeah, in Alaska. And you're not supposed to run. You got to get big. You got to get large, like you're going to post up the bear.
Yeah. Well, good luck the next time that happens. I'm going to be in the attic. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Osaka and Djokovic win. Tiger ponders his future, and the NHL skates on thin ice in Tahoe. But we begin today with a couple of basketball games that may have impact on the NCAA tournament. Michigan went to Ohio State and won in a battle of potential number one seeds. And Duke, left for dead by so many experts, beat Virginia, allegedly the best team in the ACC, for its third win in a row. Wilbon, which was the bigger win?
Well, Tony, I mean, the Big Ten game, and I know you watched it and we talked about it afterward, entertaining game, tough game, close game, physical game, like you'd expect, you know, at this time of year in the Big Ten. And both those teams are going to be the top of the seeding board. It was entertaining, but I don't know that it was significant. Duke still needs to win. I'm surprised at the number of our colleagues who have Duke out somehow. Duke out of what? I mean, you know, Duke's not great this year. They don't go in as on the top line or even the second line. But Duke's good, and Virginia's still good, and Virginia is still, for what it's worth, defending champion. So I thought even that one-point win for the Blue Devils was a big deal. What about you?
It's interesting that I'm now put in the position of defending the Big Ten, which I was so confident you were going to do. I thought it was Michigan for a very specific reason. Michigan has guaranteed itself a really significant road win, which this was, against a potential number one seed. Michigan has now assured itself, I believe, of being a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, even if they lose in the Big Ten tournament. They're not going to have to be in the region with Gonzaga. They're not going to have to be in the region with Baylor. I watched the last 20 minutes of that game, which took like 3 hours.
It took forever.
But I was impressed. I was impressed with Michigan. The way they handled the ball, the way they used all of their players, the way they shot fouls at the end, and the way they defended. I mean, they looked like a pretty good team to me. So I'm going to say it's the Michigan win. Duke, I've always believed they're going to get in the tournament. I would be concerned, honestly, if I were Virginia now. They went to Florida State and got killed. They gave up 81 points in Florida State. They never do that in the ACC. I thought maybe they'd bounce back at Duke. They didn't particularly bounce back. And look. Duke has players. Duke's not Kentucky right now. They haven't lost 13 games. Duke has players. In a strange way, they may be better without Jalen Johnson.
But they needed to win, Tony.
And they won the game. You know how it was so odd? It was so odd to see the Cleveland Browns get better when Odell Beckham Jr. went out. Like, you don't know why. So I don't know why about this kid, but they seem right now to be headed for the tournament, right?
I think they headed for the tournament, Tony, but I think they needed to win. That's why that result was more important.
Okay.
Michigan didn't need to win. Michigan can get to the Final Four from the one or the two spot. They're not going to be any lower than that. If they had lost yesterday, they could drop to two. But I just thought, okay, I believe, like you, that Duke is going to get in the tournament, but they ain't going to get in the tournament if they lose every game. They got to win some games. And yesterday beating Virginia, which I know has stumbled a little bit lately. I don't know what that means, actually. Tiger Woods hosted this weekend's tournament at Riviera, but did not play in it. Still, Tiger told Jim Nance he's waiting for an MRI on his back this week before making any decisions about when to practice or even think about playing. And when asked if he'll make it to the final Sunday at the Masters, Tiger said, quote, God, I hope so, but I got to get there first. I don't have much wiggle room left. I've only got one back, close quote. There was a little smile when Tiger said that. Tony, how do Tiger's comments have you feeling about his future, both immediate and long term?
Like you, I watched every word of that, and I hung on every word of that. And when it was done, I was pessimistic about his ability to play in the Masters. I thought he was telling us, I may not be going, kids. He did a lot of grinning during the interview, which was a little bit disconcerting to me. But he hasn't picked up a club except his putter at all. That's all he's had. I got the sense, especially when he said, I've only got one back. I thought he was preparing us for the fact that not only might he not play the Masters, he might not play competitively again, depending on the results of this MRI and depending what he can do physically, regardless of the results of that. And I know that I'm stretching it, and I know that I'm taking an alarmist point of view, but if that were to take place, I just thought his jocular attitude conveyed he was at peace with it if it happened. And if it happened, Mike, then the last round we'd have ever seen him in, he was playing with his kid. And that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, I don't see any of that. We you and I are very different when it comes to sort of reading the tea leaves, as we joke about all the time, but it's true. Tony, we don't know. Let me say a sentence that no one wants to say in the world anymore, and particularly as it concerns sports and politics. We don't know. Because Tiger said over and over to Jim Nance, I don't know. We don't know. Let's see what the MRI says. Nobody wants to say that in the age of breaking news on the bottom of the screen and all what they read into and the metrics and the optics. We don't know. Sorry. I know I don't know. I want Tiger to play just like you do. I want him to be healthy and to play.
Yeah.
Not just out there like he was for a while when he couldn't do anything. Tony, did I hear this correctly when he said he lengthened his putter? The only thing he's touched is the putter, as you just stated. Didn't he say he lengthened it to be the same length as a 9-iron? Did I hear that correctly in that answer to Jim Nance? And that means he doesn't even want to bend fully over. He didn't want to do that yet. So how do we know? We don't know jack.
Can I go to Riviera just for a second? Because you watched that and I watched that.
I did.
When is it Max Homa, right? That's his name. When he missed that birdie putt on 18 from 3 feet, I thought he was done. I thought he'd go to the playoff with Tony Finau, and Tony Finau was 7-under, would finally win. But Finau missed putts on, he missed putts on the first
18.
And the second playoff hole,
right.
And he lost.
Right.
There's an amazing statistic. Finau, and I know you love him, Finau has finished in the top 10 in the last 4.5 years, 37 times, no victories. There's only 5 guys who finished in the top 10 more often. I'm going to read them. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Rory, John Rahm, and Webb Simpson. And combined, they've won 37 times.
He's there every week.
I got to root for Finau. I
root for him. And Tony, it's interesting that he's sort of beloved. People, how engaging and just classy was he yesterday in defeat? I would have been throwing clubs, right? I mean, I've been so angry to lose that way. And Finau was so gracious.
Yeah. Me too.
Easy to root for.
All right, let's move to tennis. As we both thought, Naomi Osaka and Novak Djokovic are Australian Open champions. Both did it in straight sets. Both continued remarkable streaks. Osaka has now won all 4 majors when she has reached the quarters. And Djokovic has gone to 18-0 in Aussie Open semis and finals. Wilbon, who had the better win?
Well, the best win was probably when Osaka beat Serena, but that was earlier.
Yes.
Of the finals wins, which is what we're talking about right now, Tony, I guess Joker did. Because, we talked about this morning on your podcast. Joker has not just a chance. He has a real good chance. Maybe the betting line in Vegas says he has a great chance of winding up his career, being the all-time leader at passing Federer, passing Nadal for Grand Slam championships. And if he does that, Tony, this will make the heads explode of all the 2 generations of people who don't know how to judge anything except by the numbers. They can't just look at the players and assess play, and sort of historic relevance. They can't do it without numbers. Well, Joker could very well be ahead in the numbers. Osaka, we got years to play out before that, even though this is great. She's like an assassin. She goes out there, particularly in the semis and the finals, and says, get out of my way, and she wins. But this Djokovic thing is interesting. Are you going to relent if Djokovic winds up with the most wins of those 3 guys, the most slams, and say, okay, I give in, he's like Jack Nicklaus, he's the best?
Okay, so I will get to that in a second. To answer the original question, I thought Osaka's win, specifically over Serena Williams, but also in the finals, because she's now poised to be the number 1 player in the world.
Right.
And when she, we have to see how she does on grass at Wimbledon and how she does on clay in Paris, because all of her victories are hard court, but we have time to see that. Let me get specifically to Djokovic and let me conjure up our friend Liz Clark of the Washington Post, because she says there's three categories here. There are your eyes, your heart, and the stats. And you and I count the stats least of all.
Yes,
when I look at Djokovic, I say in my heart and with my eyes, at his best, he is not as good as Federer at his best. He is not 100 times out of 100. Federer is a better player. I liken him to Larry Holmes, who in the vacuum of Muhammad Ali had this tremendous undefeated record and even beat Ali, an older and slower Ali. But in my heart, was Larry Holmes Ali? No. No.
Where do you have Nadal? Where do you have the ranking? Give me the ranking of the three.
I think I have Nadal a little bit ahead now of Djokovic. But if he gets to 25, I'm not going to have it. No, I'm going to move him up. But not ahead of Federer. I'm not. Let's take a break. Coming up, should the NHL be embarrassed about its slushy experience in Lake Tahoe?
And did Anthony Edwards' dunk deserve the attention it is receiving? And oh my God, it is receiving attention.
Yeah, I think the word's too much attention. I think too much, right? Don't you? Too much.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
It's mail time. You tell us what to talk about. We resent you, but we do it anyway. Let me see what's first in the mailbox.
Love you, emailers.
How embarrassed should the NHL be about their outdoor games at Lake Tahoe?
They don't need to be embarrassed. I mean, they probably could have planned better. They could have consulted a different forecaster who might have taken into account the sun. And despite whatever the temperatures are, they can take into account the sun and the effect that shining bright sun has on the ice. Because it does in Tahoe. It's different than being outdoors in Chicago or Boston or Winnipeg or wherever the hell they've had these other things. Lots of them. But embarrassed, Tony? No, they shouldn't be embarrassed. Who got forecasting right last week anywhere in the country? The country underwent a week in which places had temperatures and conditions that were different than previously in a century. So embarrassed? No, this is not that big a deal.
They postponed the game for 8 hours because the sun shone and melted the ice. The sun.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been to Nevada, in Tahoe, in Reno, in Vegas. It's the brightest, clearest sun in the entire United States of America. And here's your boy, Gary Bettman. Quote, sunshine has always been our enemy, unquote. Gary F. Bettman. Then play it a little later, Sparky. Here's another Bettman quote. The cloud cover is everywhere but where the sun is. Yeah, thank you, Carl Sagan. That's the way it works. They got away with it because the game the next day was beautiful, started later, showed you all the trees in the background. It was lovely. But are you telling me that the people at the NHL and NBC, their broadcast partner, couldn't figure out that the sun could melt the ice? Why don't you go to Al Roker, a proud SUNY Oswego grad, who's a forecaster who could have said, hey, it's sunny in Nevada.
This comes angrily from a person whose butt hasn't had the sun shine on it since last February because you've been
That's
in
right.
an attic. What would you
That's
know
right.
about the sun? Less than any
next.
Human being in the United States.
I'm going next.
Right,
I'm going next. I forgot I have to read it.
Mail.
Go to the mailbox.
Yes.
Are you guys going to be spoil sports and downplay Anthony Edwards' dunk?
No. And usually, Tony, you and I are the mindset of, we've seen great dunks. We have, oh my God, at great dunks. We have come out of our chairs at press row inappropriately after great dunks by some of the great dunkers of all time. But you have Julius and Michael and Dominique Wilkins and Vince Carter. We've seen them. This dunk may be one of the 10 greatest dunks of my life. And Tony, it's hard for me to say that. And my son at 13, he thinks every dunk is great. He said, okay, Dad, you want to downplay this? And I go, no. This is in the pantheon of dunks. You're going to disagree? You're going to be a spoil sport old man in an attic?
This is so disappointing to me that you, who criticize everything young, have decided you like this dunk. Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Was it worth 5 points? Was it worth 10 points? No, it was worth
Doesn't
2 points.
This worth
network
my enjoyment.
Has too much dunking. All of basketball highlights have too much dunking.
I agree.
Let's go to something relevant. Stop for a second. His team lost the game. His team scored 81 points and fired their coach.
Yeah.
He had 7 points in the whole game. He was 3 of 14. So other than that dunk, he was 2 of 13. And he was minus 13 when he was out there. And we are
What's
celebrating this. No,
Assess
I'm going to be the old
dunk.
Man.
Be a
I'm
man.
Sick of this junk. I'm going to try to be like you. It's junk. That's what I say. It's
a great
junk.
Dunk. It's a great all-time
Get off my lawn, Anthony Edwards.
Dunk.
Get off my
all-time.
Lawn. Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come. Deion Sanders gets his first win as a college coach.
The Timberwolves lost. I mean, seriously, you've been paying attention since October? Clearly not. That's what they do. That's why their coach got fired.
Dunk didn't help at all.
Carson Wentz.
Didn't help at all.
Carson Wentz, speaking of subjects that I'm tired of, he can't get his old number with his new team. Oh, yeah.
He shouldn't want his old number. No, he should get a new number, a new team, a new everything.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Happy time, people. Happy 56th birthday, Pat LaFontaine. A member of the Hockey Hall of Fame and one of the greatest American-born players of all time. LaFontaine was raised in Michigan near Detroit, and in a geographical oddity, played his entire NHL career in New York State, shuttling between the Islanders, Rangers, and the Buffalo Sabres. In 865 games, LaFontaine had 468 goals and 545 assists, and that's better than a point a game. In case you're making a list of the great American players, it surely would include Patrick Kane, Jeremy Roenick, Mike Modano, and Chris Chelios. We are disqualifying Brett Hull for being born in Ontario and holding dual citizenship, judge's ruling.
That's three Blackhawks, Tony, and of course the son of a Blackhawk, Brett Hull of Bobby Hull, who may no longer be the greatest Blackhawk. Patrick Kane, one of those American players from Greater Buffalo, I believe, I think has that honor now.
Happy anniversary, U.S. Olympic hockey team. On this day, 41 years ago, we celebrated the miracle on ice as the United States beat the Soviet Union in Lake Placid. In the semis, not the final, Finland was the final. But this was the game as far as American hockey is considered. The greatest upset, the biggest win ever. It was capped off by Uncle Big Al's famous call, "Do you believe in miracles?" It led to books and movies like Miracle, which was terrific, and careers for people like Michael Ruzioni, and a warm feeling forever for those who watched it and those who honked their car horns and flashed their lights on the Beltway when the game ended.
You know, watching the game, and I'm sure blowing your horn, all that was great. But to be able to have the pleasure, the privilege, of sitting and listening to Al Michaels talk about the behind-the-scenes things that went on covering that game, and Michael Ruzioni, who we both have sat with and listened to the locker room stories, I never get enough. I would do it right now at the end of this show if I could sit and listen to those guys talk about that game and that tournament.
Happy trails, Ryan Saunders. The Minnesota Timberwolves fired their coach yesterday after falling to an NBA worst 7-24. Saunders had been their coach for 2+ years and had a 43-94 record. The T-Wolves quickly hired Chris Finch, the top assistant at Toronto. A few months earlier, Indiana hired Toronto's previous top assistant, Nate Bjorkgren. Clearly, the Nick Nurse coaching tree is growing quickly. One of Saunders' problems was availability. His two best players, D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns, were on the court together just 5 games out of a possible 45.
Tony, I raise a glass to the Nick Nurse coaching tree. You know how much I like and respect Nick Nurse. But David Vanderpool, an assistant on that team, I thought deserves a chance. He's been associate head coach. He's been around. He's got the experience. Players seem to relate to him and respect him. And I hope David Vanderpool gets a shot at being a head coach soon.
One omission, Mariners CEO Kevin Mather resigned after his comments to a Rotary Club over Zoom. Let's go to the big finish if we can.
Let's do it.
The Nets beat the Clippers last night. Is that a significant win?
Tony, I don't know that it's significant, but it was fun. And it's the Nets taking down yet another good team. Seems to happen every other night. Deion Sanders won his first game as head coach at Jackson State. Big deal?
It's an NAIA school. It's probably not a big deal. This is a strange season, spring season, I guess. But we're happy for Deion. We want Deion to do well.
Happy for Deion.
And we want him to throw us some Subway sandwiches. He endorses them. Colts receiver Michael Pittman Jr. told TMZ he doesn't see himself giving up his number 11 to Carson Wentz. Nobody loves Wentz as much as you. Are you okay with this?
No. I mean, if you want to pay a lot of money, he's won 11 since his college days. He seemed fine changing numbers, Tony. He says he might as well do that. Florida Atlantic freshman Caleb Pendleton hit 2 grand slams in the same inning in his first 2 career at-bats. How great is that?
This is unbelievable. I saw the clip of this. These are his first 2 at-bats. Nobody's ever going to do this again. He has this for the rest of his life. It's tremendous. Lakers have lost 2 straight. Will the Lakers beat your Wizards tonight?
Tony, I'm taking the Wizards in a big upset, and I'm going back to the dunk story we did. Sean Kemp on Alton Lister. I mean, Kemp threw down. Remember he gave it this? That's my favorite dunk of all time. That's a long time ago for an old man like you and like me.
It's really great to have your top dunks of all time.
That's
America
right. You need
awaits.
That.
We're out Help of time. Trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser. I'm flying this for Uncle Big Al.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Shout out to CP3 and Mello.